Afghan President Hamid Karzai is setting a four-month deadline for private security companies to disband. The military, of course, relies on these contractors to protect convoys and bases. Mike Tebow is the co-chairman of the Commission on Wartime Contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Joining us now to discuss this latest development, his recent trip to Afghanistan. And Mike Tebow, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Amy and Tom.
Now, the last time you were here in late July, you told us you'd be going to Afghanistan. You'd be taking a closer look at certain contract work, a lot of stuff involving human trafficking, all sorts of really dark issues that you had to uncover. What did you find out?
Well, let's talk the perspective that I might bring you on the business with the Karzai four-month security, and then maybe we could talk about trafficking. In the sense of the security, it's going to be really tough to do that within 4 months. But what we found very clearly is you have to consider private security contractors or companies in two groups. The first group, those providing site security, and while the political issue is that all private security contractors are of concern to the Afghan government, it's really the convoy, the second part, the convoy, the movement security, where the issue appears to be. And what we're talking about is the local Afghan villages and towns have a real issue with private security contractors, and they feel they're disrespected, and they feel that there's no accountability. And what they're talking about is as they move food, supplies, logistical equipment, fuel through villages, they're just highballing it right through the villages. They're not stopping, and that's really where, and that's where the incidents occur. That's where the irritant is. But and so I think you have to think of the debate as is there an issue with site security, and every indication is there is not. But the convoy or the movement security, that's where, quite frankly, there is a problem.
And does the military or do you have any confidence that there is local capacity to take on that task once the foreign contractors are out of there?
Well, that's the question. And we've heard every situation where they'd be better doing movement without security and try to work accommodations through the local villages and acceptance. And that sounds a little worrisome. But what we're really talking about is if there's going to be security and there aren't private security contractors, then the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police would logically have to provide that security. And the real question is are they up for it yet? And with the massive training that's going on right now, which is an aggressive military priority, it's really questionable whether the ANA and the ANP are up for that, at least countrywide.
They're going to have to be, though, because they're being told that the contractors have to leave. I mean, isn't this ultimately what they want in the first place, is to have them stand up on their own without the support?
Absolutely. And the question is, are they ready for it? And I think that's the reservation that you'll hear or you've heard in some of the feedback to the Karzai plan is, are we ready for that? And maybe is there a middle ground where certain areas might be ready, and so give it a go, and other areas are not, and therefore use private security contractors until they can demonstrate that they can provide security for the many movement items.
And earlier we spoke about the lack of oversight of people on the ground to watch what contractors are doing there. Did you find improvement in that aspect on this most recent trip?
Well, yes. We found improvement relative to the United States military providing oversight to its contracts in its facility. And frankly, they have done an exceptional job of identifying those individuals and providing training. It's not a perfect world, but it's clearly a priority now from the top down. And it had not been a year or especially 2 years ago when we first started this. So, yes, there's improvement, but if you're going back to the private security contractor convoy, That is still absent, and that's where the rub is right now with the Afghan government.
Mike Thibault is a co-chairman of the Commission on Wartime Contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're talking about this latest decree to get the contractors out of Iraq, those that are supplying the security. And then what happens? I mean, if they're not up for it, and everybody's crossing their fingers, hoping that they are, but if they're not, and now they're in charge of the security, what are we going to see happen? Look into your crystal ball and tell us what happens next.
Well, my crystal ball would be that I would hope that, you know, whether you say a middle ground, there's a logical, thought-out process. The president put down, President Karzai put down a dictum, and the question becomes, like so many dictums, can it be followed? And so my crystal ball would say those areas where it can be, such as where the ANA, the Afghan National Army, and the Afghan National Police have some kind of demonstrable ability in a certain part of the country, maybe they can do that, and we don't need private security contractors. And the middle ground, the crystal ball would be, it's certainly not going to work. And therefore, if you removed all the private security contractors, you're going to paralyze the movement. And the bottom line is you're going to paralyze the mission, both for the ANA, which we support on the military bases, United States military bases, as well as the United States military mission. It's going to be severely impacted, the ability to do their job. So my crystal ball is there has to be a middle ground.
Yeah, so someone's going to have to put a hand on the shoulder of the president and say, yeah, you know, if you want us to help your country, you've got to let us find this middle ground.
And the middle ground, the hand on the shoulder is, President Karzai, you know, you're right, but you're not ready yet for part of it, at least. And that's the diplomatic solution that that's outside the realm of exactly how you go about it. But I have some confidence that there better be a working relation where they can do that.
Okay, and what about this issue we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that is the human trafficking in subcontractors or contractors' employees brought in from other countries, which was a really disturbing development. And what did you find there this time?
It seems like everywhere we turned, we found documentation of issues. And I can give you a couple examples that, you know, sometimes ground truth or examples from the ground are what you need. We found an instance where a plane load of several hundred Philippine workers was dropped at one of the largest military air bases. These people didn't have proper authorization. Basically, the documentation that we came back is, in this case, is typically, in the exact case with several employees, was they were charged $2,300 to get on an aircraft and fly through Dubai.
Wait, they were charged?
The individuals, by individuals in the Philippines. They filled up an airplane, reportedly to be a 747. We have the aircraft company name, but it's a private charter, and individuals were charged $2,300 in hope of getting a job. They were kind of promised they'd get a job, of which $500 was for the one-way airplane ticket. There were a few incidental costs, and $1,600 was a fee for service. And when these individuals arrived, there were no jobs. They somehow found their way to government, United States military, housing and meals. And the MPs who were doing their job there started seeing unauthorized individuals without badges. In other words, it's kind of like the light came on and the roaches all ran. Well, these people certainly aren't roaches, but that's the visualization. And they made it through the security checkpoints, which they should not have. They ended up throughout the facility, and this facility had 20,000 individuals that were based there. It's one of the largest. And they started finding individuals that weren't authorized, and the MPs tried to gather them up. For example, they found one facility with 80 of these Filipinos that were in space with, it was described as about half that many beds. So, you know, they didn't have really a place. They were being fed. And basically, we're now fact-finding. We've got a good part of the facts, the communication back and forth by the military police. But it's a case now where that's classic trafficking, where they were, a commitment was made, they paid money, and now they're being sent home as they find them.
Well, that was actually my next question, but before I get to that, I want to just very briefly clarify for our audience, before we start getting emails, you were not trying to compare these people who have been shipped in under the guise of getting jobs to insects and cockroaches. You were trying to paint a visual image.
I was trying to paint a visualization. You're absolutely right, and maybe that was a bit graphic, but that's kind of how I see it, because they came through the security area. And they can't answer now. They, being the security apparatus in the base, they can't answer how these people got through the gate, several hundreds, and were led through, and then basically turned loose.
And briefly, I wanted to ask you where they go now. I mean, if there's no jobs for them there, are they going back home?
They were, some of them, they started finding them after about 2 months, so they were in the facility. And yes, of course, they were unauthorized. They didn't have visas, they didn't have passports, they basically came in. It was a scam.